Back to Isaiah 45 now. Isaiah 45. I believe that the book of Isaiah is perhaps the clearest declaration of who God is, His character, His will, His ways, than any other book in all of God's Word. Well, perhaps not the clearest, but yet one perhaps that has the most declarations of who He is. Now, lest someone would say upon hearing this that God is different now, God is changed, God is different, that this doesn't describe God today. Oh no, God Himself said in Malachi 3 verse 6, God Himself said, I am the Lord, I change not. I change not. So God is the same, exactly the same as He's described here in the book of Isaiah. You know, anything that changes means it wasn't perfect, doesn't it? Things change either for the better or for the worse, don't they? God is perfect. His way is perfect. Salvation has always been the same. God has always saved human beings one way. By grace are you saved, through faith in Christ. All right, here in chapter 45 of Isaiah, now there's just too much to deal with every verse. Too much. So we will look briefly at some of the verses. We began reading verse 5 because the first four verses really go with the previous chapter. First four verses are a prophecy of a man named Cyrus, who is a type of Christ Himself. But we're not going to look at that. We're going to begin in verse 5, where He said, in verse 5, He says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Look at verse 21. Verse 21, He says, tell ye, bring them near, let them take counsel. Who hath declared this from ancient time, hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? There is no God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Verse 22, the last line says, I am God, there is none else. Look at the next chapter, chapter 46, verse 9. Look at this. He says, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Now, He keeps saying this over and over, doesn't He? One time is sufficient. But He keeps saying this over and over again. I am the Lord. There is none else. I am God, He said. There is no God beside me. I am the Lord. Now, the word Lord, the name Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The name Lord means absolute sovereign. Man has used the term lords over the years to talk about rulers. Lords as rulers of the people. But now He says, I am the Lord. Lord of lords. Remember? Lord of lords. And I remind you who this is. the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the Lord. There's only one sovereign. There can be only one king, right? There can't be two kings. There can't be two sovereigns. The word sovereign means the one who rules, the absolute. There's only one. I am the Lord, he said, and God. God is creator. God is God, in whom we live and move and have our being. Okay? He says, I am God. There is no other. There's only one. Look down at chapter 46, verse 10. Here's a description of how God is God. Chapter 46, verse 10. He says, declaring the end. He said in verse 9, I am God, there's none else. I am God, there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. Who can declare, read on, from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel, my purpose, my will, whatever I have determined, shall stand. It shall. I will do. Not I might, not I hope to, not if circumstances let me. Not if man will cooperate. Not if man will do my will. No. This is why he says, I'm God. Man's not God. I declare. Now, who but God can declare things that have not yet happened and say, this is what's going to happen? Absolutely. Without error, without mistake. Who but God can do that? Like one preacher wisely said, for something to be certainly foreknown or foretold, it must certainly come to pass. And how can that be unless that one brings it to pass? He said, he's in control of all things. He controls all things. I am the Lord. There is none else. There's only one God. All right? One creator. One God. Satan is not a God. He is not a God. Satan is an angel. Satan is a created being. He's not a God. Satan is not omniscient, that is, all knowing, omnipresent, everywhere at one time. No, he's got a body that he's confined to it. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent, all powerful. He gets his power from God. Satan's not a God. And he's in a chain. You remember this morning? He led captivity captive. You remember, I love the story of our Lord there in John chapter 13, I believe it is, where he said to Peter, Satan hath desired thee to sift you like wheat. He wants you, but I prayed for it. He can't have you. See, he has to answer to me like he did when he wanted Job years ago. And even Adam. That couldn't have happened without God's permission, right? I'm the Lord. There is no other. I'm God. There's no other God. Satan's not God. He's not God. Man is not a God, not even a small g. Man can't control one hair in his head. Or if we could, we would, wouldn't we? Man, our Lord said this, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Just grow. Now God said a cubit is 18 inches. That's a lot. But that's nothing to God. Your teenagers do that in one summer sometimes. Don't they? Who did that? They didn't do it. God did it. He said, which of you? You do it. Do it. Try it. But we can't grow one inch. I've told you before of my endeavors as a boy to grow just one inch. So I could play basketball and other things. Gain weight. Couldn't do it. Hang from the door. I couldn't stretch myself. He said, if you can't do that which is the least, how can you do anything else, huh? Anything great, spiritual, whatever. Well, he said, there's only one God. Man is not a God. Man can't do anything. Man receives all of his power mentally and physically. Mentally and physically. The will, to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see, I'm the Lord, there's none else. What could be plainer? And yet, he keeps telling us this, doesn't he? He keeps telling us this. He's telling his people. He's telling his people. The world doesn't believe that he's Lord. Oh, I know what they're saying. And I bring this up a lot because it needs to be exposed. And all this talk about letting him be Lord, people, anybody that says that, anybody that says let Jesus be Lord, doesn't believe he is Lord. You understand me? This is not a point of doctrine. Our God keeps saying in this book, Brother Dan, to you, not them, they don't believe it, but to you, he said, I am Lord. He doesn't say, Dan, if you'll let me be, I hope to be, I want to be. He doesn't say that, does he? He keeps saying over, I am the Lord. And he, in this same chapter, he says, bring them near. With whom did he take counsel? Who did he ask to let be Lord? But he says to his people, you listen to me now, I am. In telling Moses to go to his people, he concluded it all that he is, by saying this, tell them, I am that I am. Don't even let them ask anything else. Just tell them, I am. Not I will, not I hope to be. I sure will. I am. Now, I'm on my favorite subject here. Oh, I am the Lord. Man has made up this silly notion. Man has made up this notion. This is all it is. Man-made, it's imagination of man's thoughts and hearts, and it's evil. Man has made up this notion that man has a free will, that man can choose good or evil, that man can will himself into the kingdom of God, that man can do pretty much what he will. To have a free will means you do what you will. Does it not? Does it not? If your will is free, Brother Roy, that means you do what you will. Doesn't it? That makes man a god. That makes him a god, doesn't it? When God says, I will do all my pleasure, that's free will, you see. I will do that I will do. If man has one, then he's a God. Now, this is very appealing to the flesh. Why does everyone believe this? Because it's very appealing to the flesh. Huh? Man wants to be a god. Eve did. Man has always wanted to be a god, like God, free. To choose not let. Man doesn't want God to be God, telling him what he can have and what he can't have. He wants free will. Man wants to do the choosing, not have God do it for him. But man is not. Whoever has free will is God. You understand? Nothing could be plainer. Nothing could be simpler. You understand that? I know you do. And that's very appealing to the flesh, you see. But I tell you what it is. It's blasphemy to God. Because God says, I will do my good pleasure. All my good pleasure. And over he says about man, can a leopard change its spots? Can the black man turn himself white? Neither can you do good. Didn't it? He said, no man can come to me. Didn't he say that, Amy? No man can come to me. That it is God which worketh in us both to will. But see, that's the glory of God. That's to the glory of God's power in making his people willing in the day of that power. They don't have the power. We're powerless. But in the power of God, the gospel is the power of God, in the hand of God, not in the hands of the preacher, not in the hands of the soul winner, not in the will of the man, but in the will of God, in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to apply it to whom he will, to make them willing. They wouldn't be willing otherwise. They can't will unless he makes them willing. Lions eat meat. Horses eat grass. Man drinks iniquity like the water. Man is sinful. God is holy. Man can't make himself holy. God must. Man's will is bound by his nature. It's corrupt. It's evil. He can't choose good. He chooses evil. God must make the choice for him. This is the power and the glory of God. You see, God's glory is at stake here. And this is why he keeps reminding us, I'm God, there is none else. I'm the Lord, there is none else. Look at verse 5 again. He says, Isaiah 45, verse 5, he says, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. He's talking to all flesh here. I put the clothes on your back, even though you don't know it. Oh, make Jesus Lord. I am your Lord. I've always been your Lord, though you don't know it. And when God reveals himself to somebody, what he causes them to understand is not that they made him Lord, but that he is Lord. And they didn't know it. You see the difference, Barbara? Not they don't. God doesn't put within them to accept him as their Lord. Oh, no. He just reveals to them, I am your Lord. You didn't know it, but I am. Now you know it, don't you? And what does that bring? The fear of the Lord. They sure won't go around talking about how they made him Lord. I am the Lord. I girded you, though you don't haven't known me. Yes, he is everyone's Lord. He's all the God of all flesh. Principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness and high place. He's their Lord. Let's ask Satan, did you make him Lord? No, he made me a little Lord. I can only do what he lets me. He knows that. He believes there's one God and trembles. Do you remember back in chapter 43? This is salvation. People, what I'm telling you right now is the beginning, is salvation. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true, what? This is life eternal. Where is that? John? 17, maybe? Verse 3, perhaps? This is life eternal, that they might know thee. Who is it? The only what? True God. And here in Isaiah 43, verse 10, he says, you are my witnesses. You're mine. I've chosen you. Unlike in a court of law where witnesses are just, they're just bystanders. They just happen to be on the scene. Do you have any witnesses? Yeah, so-and-so happened to be there. God says, I've chosen you. I've chosen my own witnesses. You hear me? Are you with me? Come on now. This is holy ground, and this is great stuff here. I've chosen you, he said. What? Verse 10. That you might know and believe me and understand. What? Before me there was no God, and neither shall there be after me. There never was, there isn't now, there never will be, but one God, and I'm it. I'm He. I, verse 11, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the Lord. I am the Lord. Some, you see, God has chosen by His sovereign electing grace to know Him. Folks, if you know this, here we hear His witnesses. He's chosen you to know this. There's not one in a million that know this. This is so plain to you, so it's just without controversy, isn't it? To you, isn't it? It's without controversy. It's without argument. It's absolute. It's irrefutable to you, is it not? It's all. Proverbs 8:8 says it's plain to him that understandeth. It's right to them that find knowledge. Henry, well, it's silly to think that God's not God in it. To you, isn't it just absolute foolish for someone to say there is no God? How do you know that, Henry? You used to think that. You used to think there was no God. You used to think you were a God. You used to think you had free will, didn't you? You used to think Satan was and God were about on equal power. He said, I've chosen you. I've chosen Henry Sword from Cornholler. Huh? One-room schoolhouse. One poor little feller up the back side of nowhere. I've chosen you. But you know and understand I'm He. Scholars in schools don't know this. Principalities and powers, rulers of the world. Had they known this, Peter said at Pentecost, had they known this, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And this is what convicted them all at Pentecost. You know this one you killed? He did it because God determined to do it. Do you know where He is? On the throne right now, and you're in His hand. He can kill you or let you live. It's up to Him. And they all came bowing and scraping. But I've chosen you, He said, that you understand me. Sovereign, praise God, sovereign, electing, revealing grace, huh? And verse 6 says in our text, says, there is none beside me. There's no other God. He says, look, now look at this. Verse 6, that from the rising of the sun from the west, there's none beside me. I am the Lord. There is none else. You can search all you will, but you won't find another. I'm it. I'm the Lord. Verse 7. Now look at this. I form the light and create darkness. I form the lights and create darkness. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4, okay? 2 Corinthians 4. Everybody. Now, everyone that calls himself a believer, that believes in God, at least the God of this book, everyone claims to believe that God created all things. Right? Sure. Only a pagan would believe in this evolution stuff. I form the light, I create darkness. What light is he talking about? What darkness is he talking about? Look here in 2 Corinthians 4. Now you owe it, before you were a believer, you probably believed that God created the heavens and the earth. I'd say most in here were raised in a Protestant home, and your dad and mom, though they didn't know a lick about God or the gospel, they believed God created all things. Thank the good Lord for this. Thank the good Lord for that. Let's say our blessings, you know. Everybody. Well, look at 2 Corinthians 4. But you didn't know this, and they didn't either. This is talking about spiritual light and darkness. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that is, God who in the beginning said, let there be light. God caused there to be light. See, the earth was without form and darkness. And God said, let there be light. Well, that same God, verse 6, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. What is this light? It's the knowledge of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It's who He is. It's the glory of Him being God. It's the glory of Him choosing whom He will. It's the glory of His sovereign mercy, sovereign grace. It's the glory of His power. It's the glory of His name. He's given you light. God one day said to you who were in darkness, without form and void, He said to you, let there be light. Let him or her know that I am God. He woke up one day after hearing the gospel, like your eyes came wide open. He is God, isn't He? He woke up one day after hearing the gospel. It's like waking up. It is. It's quickening. And you hear and you believe and you see the glory of God. And where do you see it? Who God is and what He's like and His dealings with man in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that that man named Jesus, he's not just a man. He's Lord. And I didn't make Him as Lord. He was born King, born Lord. And I was born under His Lordship. Never was a time I wasn't under His Lordship. He's Lord. Shined in our hearts. Give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back to the text now. And over in Isaiah 29, he said that He blinds men. He said, I create light. Look at it in our text here. He said, I form the light and I create darkness. Over in Isaiah 29, verses 10 and 11, He said, blind their eyes. Blind them. Our Lord said that. He said, blind their eyes. He decides who's blind. He blinds them. God sends them strong delusion. God blinds their minds and heart. Didn't our Lord say this? Or, thank you, Father, that you've hid these things. You've hid the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. They don't know God's God. They still think Him making God. It's hidden to them. They're blind. They're in darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. Ah, you know and understand that He is He. Look at here, our text, verse 7. He goes on to say, I make peace and I create evil. You know, I've never heard a modern preacher quote this verse. Ever. I haven't looked at modern translations, but I bet you they've changed it. Do you recall? I've never heard a modern preacher quote Isaiah 45:7. I make peace and I create evil. Now, I told you there's too much here to deal with all of it, but peace. Now, our Lord said there would be wars and rumors of war. And He said it would be. He raises up rulers to cause trouble. Can you believe that? He raised up this Cyrus fellow to just take over everything. And on it goes. Everybody that's ever, every ruler that ever has been, God made him ruler, didn't he? To accomplish His purpose. Now listen very carefully. If anything happens that God didn't purpose it and direct it, He's not God. Is that clear? He's not absolute ruler. You understand? He's not absolute ruler. If something happens without His permission, God didn't want that. You ever hear anybody say that? God didn't want that. Then He's not God. Now, it's is or it isn't. Now, what's He keep saying now? What's He keep telling us? I'm God. There is none else. Will work, He said. Who's going to stop it? Who's going to allow it? I'm the Lord. I make peace. Now, man is enmity against God. The natural man is at war with God. If you bring the average person in off the street to hear what you've just heard this morning, you would hear teeth gnashing. Honestly. I've been receiving a lot of harassing phone calls lately. Well, the past couple months. Why? You know what is preached from the radio. I know who it is. I've got a caller ID. He calls and leaves messages and all that. He's too much of a coward to talk to me in person. He calls me and knows I won't be here. Well, what's he mad at? You hear me. You hear every preacher's thing. What are we talking about here? What am I talking about now? Whose word am I proclaiming here? What are we talking about? God being God. And the natural man hates that. Hates it. But he is. He is God. And the carnal mind is enmity against God. And like I said, every one of you, before God revealed Himself to you, didn't like God being God. You didn't. You heard this, didn't you, Nancy? You heard it, and you said, "I don't believe that." Didn't you, Nancy? Until the Lord said, "Nancy, you will believe this," and Nancy said, I do, don't I? You were made willing, you said, in the day of His power. He had to make you believe, doesn't He? Takes His power. He makes peace. He reconciles us.
to himself. He tells us, you better put your gun down. You're going to find you're fighting against God. What you don't like is. What you don't believe is. Better put your pop gun down. It won't reach God. It won't reach anywhere. Put her down. Stack your arms, Scott used to say. You're fighting against God. Bow the knee. Open your mouth. Say it.
You're God, aren't you?
Love it.
I love it.
Sing it. And my son is peace. I'm not pleased with mankind, God says. There's nothing about mankind that I like. That's why I'm going to destroy this whole ball of dirt with every human being on it except those that I'm pleased with. I don't like mankind, God says, let alone love it. I hate all workers of iniquity, God says, Psalm 5:5. And I will destroy it. It's a stench in my nostrils, God says. I'm going to burn it up this last time. I'm going to absolutely put it out of my memory. I don't love, far from loving mankind. It's a stench in his nostrils. That's how you burn. That's how you get rid of something finally. You burn it. You burn carcasses. Is this too hard? This is God's Word. But now he says there's some in which I'm well pleased. There's some that I've chosen. Didn't have to choose any of them. They're all sinned and come short of my glory. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved who? Who he chose to love. He had to. You see, he had to. He had to set his love on it. He had to choose whom he would love, John. There's none of them lovely. Let's look at a pile of maggots, okay? I'm going to love some maggots. Which one would I love? Here's a pile of maggots. Isn't that what it calls us? Worms. Here's a pile of maggots. Which one am I going to love? Well, here's one with a black hat on. Well, he's cute. Well, here's one over here aside from me. He's not good. He's not drinking this what this one's drinking. He's not. Maggots. Now, this is just a very plain illustration here, but this is the way it is. God says, I've plucked you as a brand from the burning. As a worm. Here it goes. Here's a maggot. His name is Stan Anderson. He's just like the rest of them. He's unclean like the rest of them. He hates me like the rest of them. But I've chosen him. Now, Stan. And he transforms, gives ears. Maggots don't have ears. Maggots, they don't have eyes. Gives him ears and eyes and starts. He's predestined him to be conformed to the image of his son. Takes a worm, he's going to turn him into a glorious butterfly. Going to give him wings to fly above the rest of the maggots. That wing, that freedom is the gospel. Those wings you soar on the wings of eagles is the gospel. You fly up into the presence of God. Here's ears. I'm God. Not feeding on dead things anymore. He looks up. The rest of the maggots still looking down. He looks up. He hears his voice. He sees his glory. Picks him up in the palm of his hand. He's not going anywhere. It's mine. Sets his love upon him. How did he do all this? And there's another story. It's the whole story. He, God, went down and became a worm. That's how he told us. That's how he told Stan. He came to this earth. God can't speak to man. God can't see God, man. A man can't see God. He'd be consumed. God's a fire. God had to robe himself, come down in the form of a man, talk to him.
go to the cross, live, die, rise again. I'm coming back for you. You're still a maggot. You're no different than the rest. But I love you. I love just you. And I know foundation stands sure, and his salvation stands sure. How's this? The Lord knoweth them that are his. And he comes in time to this place called earth and finds his people. They look like everybody else, but he takes them out. Takes them out. One way or another, death or the resurrection with Christ. See, he creates peace. And evil, what does evil mean there when he says, I create evil? Well, now listen very carefully, all right? If this has caused you some trouble in the past. God is not the author of sin. God cannot sin. God cannot tempt with sin. God didn't make Satan sin. God didn't make Adam and Eve sin. You say, I'm confused. Of course we are. We're human beings. We're worms. Do maggots understand human beings? Let me tell you something about nuclear physics, quantum physics, astrology. Forget it. They can't begin to understand if they search the rest of their life. But let me see if I can't make some of this understandable to us. The absence of God. God is light. What do you have? What do you have when you turn off a light? What's automatically created? Darkness. Okay? God is mercy. God is love. God is good. Goodness. God is grace. God is holiness. God is righteousness. How do you create evil? How did evil come about? Somehow, God removed his constraining and restraining grace. Are you understand where I'm at? God didn't cause it. It's a natural reaction. It's a natural reaction. It's like human nature was created fallible. Not perfect. We're created in the image of God, but not the express image of God. Man had a holiness, a righteousness, but not the righteousness of God. He had his own. It was fallible. It was finite. It was subject to change. Man was created subject to change. Now, the only thing that could change him is sin. And in God's, you know, you see God's purpose. You see God's glory, don't you? See, God's glory would not have been known had not sin entered into this world. The angels saw God's holiness. The angels saw God's love. They saw his love for his son. The angels saw God's justice. When the first angels that kept not, that rebelled, they saw them cast down with no hope of mercy. Then they never saw mercy. They didn't know what mercy was. They didn't know what grace was. Mercy is not, you read the article? In the bulletin? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. None of those angels were spared. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. They never saw that. This first man and woman sinned in the garden. They did what the first angels did. Shook their fist in God's face. Said, we won't be God. God didn't annihilate them. God didn't put them in chains. God didn't destroy them. He spoke to them. He killed an animal. Clothed them. Spoke to them. Made promises to them. What's that? Mercy.
They didn't get what they deserved. It's grace. They got what they didn't deserve. We'd have never known this had not sin entered. Do you understand? Never known this. The glory of God is His complete character, you said. His complete character. Greater love hath no man than this. The greatest display of love is God, in that while we were yet enemies, dying for His people. So evil. Now let me just quote this, and I'm going to quit. Let me quote this. Sin takes place when God removes His hand. Very simply. Sin takes place when God removes His influence or His presence. And how, I don't know. He's God. But it does. Thomas Watson said this. One of the old Puritans said this. Now, you may want to scratch, write this down. I did and committed it to memory. Thomas Watson said this. God has a hand in the action where the sin is, but no hand in the sin of the action. Do you understand that? Let me see if I can illustrate that. Adolf Hitler killed how many Jews? Way before him. Pharaoh killed how many Jewish babies? Who killed them? Deuteronomy 32:39, Brother Stan says, I'm the Lord. I kill. I make alive. Plagues, that is, diseases and so forth. Diseases. Whatever disease, let me just name one. Bubonic plague, smallpox, cancer, AIDS. Who does it? Oh, God didn't want you to get sick. Then He's not God. Why would I pray to Him? If He didn't want me to get sick and I got sick anyway, why would I want to pray to Him? He can't do it. If He didn't want it and it happened, why would the sense of faith do Him that? Why didn't He stop it? He says, I wound and I heal. Right? See, that's, Nancy, that's all our peace. That's all our peace when things happen. You say, with Job, it's the Lord. We can't explain it completely. We don't know His absolute purpose. We don't know the end from the beginning. We don't know why He did this. But He did it to accomplish something down there. You can guarantee you that. And you can guarantee this. Romans 8:20 is for our good. I don't know how. Of course you don't. You're not God. He does. I declare the end from the beginning. I kill. I make alive. Every person that's ever died, God killed him. Use means, yes. He allowed this one to do what their evil heart wanted to do, but they did what God determined before to be done. He had no hand in the sin of the action. You understand that? He didn't make them evilly do that. They did it because they're evil. But it works out His purpose. You understand that? I know you did. Well, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. The Father in heaven revealed that to you. I'm the Lord. I do all these things. You see that? Verse 7. I do all these things. All these things. Whatever's done, I did it. Don't argue. He said on down there, He said, don't let potsherds strive with potsherds. Broken vessels, pottery. Maggots, strive with maggots. Don't be striving with your maker. It won't do any good. Because that's the way it is. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd. But I, the Lord, do all these things. I don't like that. Well, doesn't matter. I'm the Lord. But salvation is to like it. Yea, love it. Who He is. And salvation, and two, you know,
once our Lord gives you a new heart,
see, it takes a spiritual heart to love these things. A natural man doesn't love these things. Man doesn't want to be a worm. Man doesn't want to be helpless. Man wants to be independent. Man wants to be in charge of his own destiny. Man's heart is full of pride. He wants to be a god. God has to change that heart. You see, he has to give a new heart, a broken heart, a contrite heart, an humble heart, a submissive heart, a believing heart, an understanding heart. To know that he's God, to know that we're worms, and to know that Christ is all. And love it. And love it, you see. The only way I can make a dog love what human beings do is turn a dog into a human being. Right? Make a dog love a cat and a cat love a dog. And I, the Lord, do all these things. I am God. There's none else. Well, let's sing in closing. Hymn number 10. This is a great hymn of worship by Isaac Watts, who knew the true and living, the living and true God. Let's stand. Brother John, you come up and lead this, if you will. Hymn number 10. We'll stand. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5, okay? First, third, and fifth verse.